The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
What is it about, there's a certain quality about some people that you want to punch them in the face? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's like a certain special, it's a special quality because there's people that annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who are ugly. There's people who are whatever. And then there's some people who are none of those things.
Yeah.
But you just want to pummel them in the face.
There's that one, that special ingredient there. That
something. It's the X factor.
Always identify it.
It's, I call it the X factor.
Yeah.
You know who has that X factor?
Hmm.
The leader of North Korea. What's his name?
Kim Jong-il.
His little chubby face. Don't you just want to kick him in his face?
Of course.
I don't know why.
I want to squeeze
besides the fact that he's starving millions of people,
right.
I want to just beat him up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And he doesn't poop.
Just give him a hard wedgie.
Yeah.
You know, and just fucking lift him by his pants.
Down.
And then have Adam just punch him in his stomach.
There you go.
And Justin will just take his lunch money. Wow.
Yes.
We went too far again.
We can bully some people.
Yeah, nobody would get mad if we bullied the leader of North Korea.
Come on.
That communist.
Let us at least bully some people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does have
some
a very
people deserve it.
Punchable.
Yeah.
Punchable face.
Yeah, he does.
Dude, I'm going to have to go get the red hat. I really like the red hat. Every time I see Justin in the red hat.
I know.
The Mad Mike hat?
I get
compliments all the time.
When we made him,
I love the. Is that our mascot? Are we going to call him our mascot?
He's our guy.
Is that our dude, Mad Mike?
All right.
I don't know if I would call it a mascot. I don't know if you.
It would be a
podcast
mascot.
Has a mascot. I don't know.
Actually, it would be hilarious if we did get a big Mad Mike costume and had Doug run around in it as a mascot.
I think that'd be awesome
at events.
Actually,
you know what I'm saying? Like he'll run and do like
you just like randomly run up to somebody and talk shit and then run away.
He'll run up to supplement booths and knock their shit
exactly.
over.
Exactly. That'd be awesome. Or like he'd eat it, pretend to eat it, and then throw up.
Yeah, grow like a tumor.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that we need to get a booth as soon as we can at some of these expos because I'm pretty sure in 2017 we're not going to be able to be allowed to even go into one. So I think, I do. I think it's important that we get into one soon. Either that,
I'll be disappointed if we're allowed in there.
You'll be
disappointed. Is that weird? Yeah.
No, I don't know.
If they let us in, I'll be like, fuck.
No, I want to.
That
be.
Was easy.
We need to go just to have a presence there. And I think, you know, I talked to the boys that are our boys with Prodigy. And since they have a clothing line and they like to do that stuff, I think the next one that we just pair up with them, either that or our boys with Blown Gear. So either Blown Gear or Prodigy, both clothing line and people that we like and that are local Bay Area dudes that we're big fans of. I think it would be cool to.
I'm just surprised. I don't like to use the word surprised, but I did not anticipate how many people would want like Mind Pump apparel. Like we have shirts that people are getting and tank tops. We have the hats and they do look good, but you guys know as well as I do that like apparel company, like that's very difficult and people like them.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to get rich doing it at all. You know what I'm saying?
You never know.
Well, yeah, you're right. You never know.
One can dream.
No, yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's cool to have. I think it's
always
good.
Crushing my dreams. That's what Adam does, basically.
No, no, no.
I'm like, hey, Adam, do you think my calves will grow if I do this? Like,
well, what's
no,
your other
not.
Idea? Sal's really hell bent on us making a stuffed animal, which I think is probably up there in one of the worst ideas.
No, it's not. Let me finish.
No, go ahead.
Make a stuffed Mad Mike, but put it in. Do something to where you can put it in your car. Either hang it off the rear mirror.
Because that's totally like in style still to hang dice off your mirror and shit, right?
Why not? It can be. All right, fucker.
I'm just saying, dude. Sometimes
you don't think a stuffed Mad Mike.
Not at all. Bro.
My daughter wants one real bad. Okay?
Yeah,
that's why I want one.
Yeah, exactly. And then you know what? I think we
a furry.
I think I
cover.
Can have one of those made specially for your daughter, and I think I could do something really cool and brand it for her, and we could put something neat inscribed from her father to you. I think that would be cute, and I think that would be neat. Do I think our podcast
our audience would buy them?
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. Since somebody just recently did a whole
unless
like,
it's like a titty Ruxpin.
I think
so
our
you did it like says.
I think our
I swear to God, I thought you said titty Ruxpin.
I think there's
we see it
I think there's a better chance if it converts into a sex toy than it we could sell it.
Oh,
possibly.
Now we're on to something.
Yeah, like it looks like a stuffed animal, but when it unfolds,
it vibrates.
It turns into the rabbit.
Its head turns in circles and goes. Yeah.
Put your dick.
Or maybe it looks like a stuffed animal, but it has like a zipper and it holds your portable vibrator.
Yeah,
it does something.
It's got a pouch for all your.
It has some sort of use.
I don't. Magnets. I'm not a big fan of combining a child's toy with.
This is a very solid point.
It is.
It's almost like it reminds me of when I worked at Red Robin, and they had this idea that they were going to have shakes with alcohol in them, right? Oh, let's get a rookie magic. And then there was like the cookie magic or something, which was like had alcohol in it. And let's just say like a little switcheroo. And the kid was just drunk and puking.
What?
No. Yeah,
it was like the worst idea I think I've ever.
That really happened?
It really happened.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Yeah. Bro, it's just not a good idea.
Yeah, you get a huge lawsuit probably for something like that. Yeah. Wow.
It's just not a good idea. This is why I'm against most edibles, because it's like Fruity Pebbles with 45 milligrams of THC. Like, you don't want your kids accidentally, Dad, I ate all my cereal this morning. Like,
Well, that's the biggest that industry.
Your eyes are red.
That's what was wrong with that. I remember when we first
Mario
started.
Mario Brothers makes sense.
Started the clubs.
Fucking potheads.
We were trying to. We knew that, right? Like, I remember they would bring them in, and it still is this way with cannabis clubs. It's, you know, it's a difficult as an owner. It was hard. Okay, you're concerned about margin, so I want to get a cookie that's. I can buy it for, you know, $2.50 and I can turn around and sell it for $5 to $6 or whatever, right? But what happens is the people that actually spend the money in like packaging it in a safe package and warning labels and making it professional and nice, you know, those things would be like $3-$4. And then I could get somebody who made it in their kitchen who's, you know, would sell it to you for half the price, double the dosage.
Granny's pot cookies.
Yeah, right. And 70% of the people that were coming to pick up buy the cookies from you, they cared more about the strength of it than they cared about how it was packaged. It's so just, it was such a hard thing to deal with.
It's just so indicative of stoners. Like, I don't ever go, hey, fuck, I got a headache, bro. You got some ibuprofen? Yeah, right here in this Rice Krispie treat. Just eat this, and it's a full dose of ibuprofen. It doesn't make sense to me. It's total stoners, bro. Yeah, here. Oh, you've got multiple sclerosis. We have some medicated lollipops.
I have cinnamon toast crunch. Cinnamon toast crunch. Yeah. You just eat it and you'll feel much better.
Here, eat this fruit lollipop. Yeah. You know, eat this lollipop. It'll help you with it. It just doesn't.
Dude, I know
it's embarrassing.
Well, you brought up the company. Was it Bang Chocolates? Right, Bang Chocolates.
No, Kiva.
Well, Kiva too. I know Kiva, but Bang Chocolates. I thought you brought up too. Also, I mean, both those companies. Or millionaires, dude. And I remember when they first started, I was one of the first clubs that they brought their stuff
Kiva
in.
Kiva is my, it's got to be one of my favorite edibles, only because it's so professional and so accurately dosed and so consistent, you know what I mean, with the dosing.
And we knew that when they first, so I was one of the, I vended Bang and Kiva when they first came in.
That's the Bang with an H.
B-H-A-N-G.
Bang.
And here's the thing, the guy who owns Bang used to have a chocolate cup, so he was already had a factory, he already had a professional, so he was way ahead of the game. And I remember when he came in and his prices were really high, and I was like, this doesn't matter, because he had all the milligrams broken down, super professional, I could see it in a store at one point, so I was like, man, we have to get with this vendor. And they moved, they sold, but not as fast as obviously the person who had the homemade ones that were super strong, and it was just unfortunate, but... Look how it's paid off now, because those guys where regulations,
long term thinking, man.
Oh yeah, no, and it always pays off. I love seeing that it paid off for those guys, and you know, shame on everybody else that didn't pick up on that and see it early and didn't take the sack. You know what a good point too with entrepreneurship, that how much it's like that in the battle of attrition, like we've said before.
Come on, dude! As soon as marijuana went from pure black market to somewhat of a less regulated, more open market, which is the medical market in California, the quality of the product has grown so rapidly in such a short period of time. It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Yeah.
5 years, just 5 years, you know, the edibles we have now and the products we have now are light years ahead. And that's because we've allowed the entrepreneurial spirit of you know, capitalists and free market, you know, entrepreneurs to compete with each other and to try to produce better products. And the winner at the end of this is always the consumer.
It is.
And that's why I'm always supportive
of competition. Is awesome.
Dude, let it happen. Like, well,
it's an excellent example of free market. It's an excellent example of how it managed itself too. See this,
and it's brought the price down. How much is a price? Remember how much money you could get, like if you grew a pound of marijuana. If you sold a pound of marijuana on the black market, you would make like five times as much as if you sell it now in the medical market or the legal market in like Colorado or Washington, because that's what the market does. It lowers prices and improves quality.
It's not quite five times, but it definitely, I mean, they were, you know, when I first got into it, a pound would go for $3,500 to $4,000 a pound in California. Places like New York, it would go for $5,000 to $7,000 a pound. Now it's like $2,500, you know, it's half the price for sure, which is, but it also, that makes it, it makes it very difficult for a grower too. You know, if somebody who is getting into that industry, Justin's laughing.
I'm just picturing like, yeah, man, back when I used to get grams, like, you know, off this plane and then I would put it in my house and, you know, and then I would chop it up and, you know, I just picture this whole like crazy drug operation.
Well, you know, the first time, so when I got in, it was funny because when I got into cannabis, I'll never forget this when I had this moment.
Or will you forget it?
Yeah.
I was breaking everything up, right? We're packaging it in the containers and we're weighing and measuring everything out. And it was I had a pound that I was doing this, and I had this moment where I thought to myself,
"That's a lot of weed."
I felt like it's really not.
Whoa!
I remember
that's not the most amount of weed we've seen.
Yeah, no. I remember going, "Wow, what a hustler you have to be a drug dealer." Like, I had this all broken out. And I'm such a mathematic guy, right? So I'm like, I'm looking at everything and I'm going, this is a whole pound. This is all broken up in, you know, quarters and eighths and grams and everything like that. So all the different weights and how much that would go. And I'm figuring it out. Okay. Well, this costed me, I just bought this from this farmer. It cost me $3,000. Once I sell all this off, I'm going to make a total of $6,500. So I'm making $3,500, but I'm looking at how many, like, that's like fucking 100-something transactions I'm looking at for me. I'm like, man, if you're slanging dope as a kid or a young adult who's getting into this, like, man, you can't make that as much money as you think you can. Like, this would take a normal person forever to sell all this off in eighths and quarters and ounces.
We're not promoting this, kid.
No. This is why, this is the opposite of promoting. It's way more over glamorized than what it really is. Like,
Imagine if you took these dealers and you just, you know, were able to take their efforts and their energy and their brains and were able to focus it towards
sell pencils.
Yeah, or whatever, you know, or even just, you know, make the market, you know, make it legalized somehow or less regulated somehow. Imagine the economic power that they could produce with their minds. It's crazy.
I really feel like myself, some of my buddies that we that
just
all
naming people,
yeah,
just throw them out.
Those thrown people under buses.
Those are common names, and the fucking 3 million people listening to us. I mean,
but
how many?
Sal and I know them.
How many? Yeah, talking about? Well, that's what matters. I mean, you guys under nobody. Everybody else is like, oh, I wonder if that's the I know or the I know.
My friend John,
probably not.
My friend John McDonald, who I went to
John Smith.
Yeah. No, the men that I'm naming were really intelligent businessmen that were not into, into drugs or any of that stuff heading into the cannabis world. So we treated it so different than the average person. The average person that got into marijuana when it first, or got into cannabis clubs when they first started to open up, were mostly, you know, black market drug dealers that said, wow, we can do this legally now. All I have to do is go get a script and a license, and now I can open a store.
Still doing their shakedowns and like...
Oh, you know, totally like that. And so...
Muscling everybody.
Here come these three nerds that get into this business, and we think we're going to legitimize it, you know, in a matter of months, just because we run our operation like a real business. And, you know, that was part of the fight for us was... We were trying to take it legitimate. We were trying to get companies like Bang and Kiva to be the main, you know, supplements and stuff that we offered inside of our store. But, you know, we were competing with these guys that were, you know, doing everything backdoor and shady. And it was a major challenge, and it still is for the industry. It's changing though. It's evolving and it's coming that direction. But now it's, it's becoming more legitimate and more like a real business. And it, with that being said, it's not as profitable as a lot of people think it is.
It's profitable in different ways. Not profitable like before.
No, not like before.
Well,
before
in all fairness, I mean, alcohol had the same birth.
Yes,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Prohibition, and it was all like underground and, you know, all these shakedowns and, you know, shady shit that, you know, the government coming in and like all the cops coming in, like breaking everybody's stuff.
It's exactly like that.
What you got to realize is from an economic, just from a purely economic standpoint, the literally the role of government in the when it comes to drugs is to keep prices high and to protect the cartels from competition. Literally, from an economic standpoint, that's what they end up doing. They end up making the margins so that these drug dealers make shit tons of money because it's very risky to sell it, and they eliminate any competition. So you get people dying from overdoses and impurities and all kinds of crazy stuff. Whereas in markets, things tend to get cleaner and, you know, and better. It's going to be on the ballot, I believe, this year, right? To legalize potentially in California.
Who's like,
it for sure will
amongst
go.
these it'll candidates, go. Like, who's got the stance like for it?
Marijuana is going to be legalized. It doesn't matter who wins it, because it's now majority of people.
They
support
already were. It was like 50-50 last time. It was real close last time.
There's already states legalizing. It's all the
to be honest with you,
it's going
to
fall.
It's proven itself business wise.
The only reason, I'll tell you right now, the only reason why it's not is not what you guys think it is. It's the opposite of what most people think. The people that are voting against it are not. Non-marijuana users or non—I mean, maybe like 10% of those.
Oh, it's the current people in the business.
It's the black market. It's the black market people. Yeah. Yeah. If I'm a drug dealer on the black market, I don't want it to go illegal.
Of course not.
Because that's so.
Well, you know that
those guys ever got out and voted, they're voting for that. They're going out there and saying, "Keep it illegal." They'd rather it be illegal.
But you know that Marlboro and all these like companies are chomping at the bit to just like change their crops.
Absolutely.
You know? It's like, why wouldn't they just like how easy?
They've already got the operation.
That's why I think it's. So I understand why you would want to get out of that like now, because like once you get like competitors in there, it's over. Game
it's
over.
Like somebody asking me right now if they should open up a liquor store. I'm like, yeah, you can. I mean, get rich doing it. Like, good luck. There's one right up the street, and there was one that way and that way. There's a liquor store, you know, within 100 yards all directions.
Now, could you make money selling alcohol if it was all illegal? You'd make a shit ton of money.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And that's where marijuana is at now. So now everybody always, you know, hits me up and they're all interested in getting in the business. I'm like, you know, personally, my opinion is you missed that boat. You know, can you? Absolutely. You can still get it, open a liquor store and make money, but it's not like it's not like when it first went legal.
No, and unless what'll end up happening is a lot of times when things get legalized or whatever, is you get people who get in with the politicians, and you see this in certain states, and then they make laws eliminating competition. So what they would do, for example, is California politicians would work with some other people, and they'd say, to keep marijuana safe, we're only going to allow these designated places to sell marijuana. Mm-hmm. In reality, what they've done is they've made a deal with people to allow them to be the only, you know, providers of whatever product.
Scarcity.
They make their money. Right. Exactly. The reality that's the truth. And what they're going to do is they're going to mask it as it's for our own safety.
Right.
You know, we know we're only going to allow five.
Zoning.
Exactly. 100%.
Huh? Oh shit!
He's high.
Oh, it's the motherfucking quaw.
It's a high ass eagle.
Bring it, Doug.
You don't like the Eagles Landed anymore? I like that when he did that.
The Eagles Landed.
Shit!
I'll bring
too
it.
Too late.
I liked it.
Edit that in, Doug. Yeah. Somehow.
Okay.
Somehow. Do something.
It's already in.
Do something about that, Doug.
All right. Starting with B Fit Bree. She wants to know nutrition hacks.
Nutrition hacks. Well, she had a long question. It's basically like, you know, when you have a busy schedule, are there any tricks that you can provide, tips on how to provide, you know,
get it's like the life hack kind of mentality.
Yes, exactly. Here's the thing for me, at least, especially if I'm on the road or, you know, I'm busy. A grocery store is usually as easy to find as fast food, or almost as easy to find as fast food. So if I'm in a hurry or I'm on the road and I need to pull over to grab food, I can usually find a grocery store just like I can find a McDonald's or a, you know, an In-N-Out. And at the grocery store, I'm able to find healthier alternatives typically. A lot of these grocery stores like Safeway will have like salad bars with fresh, you know, where I could put fish in my salad. I could buy jerky. I could buy nuts. I could buy fruit. A lot of these places will sell vegetables, or they'll have like the the deli counter, where behind the deli counter they'll have like prepared foods that you can get.
This is a horrible tip.
And well, I'm just saying in terms of why is it a horrible tip?
Because nobody goes to stop at the grocery store when they're hurry driving their car, dude.
I'm saying if you're gonna stop.
Yeah, but I know she knows that. You don't think she doesn't know.
I want to hear what else is in the grocery store.
Yeah, keep going. So yeah, I'm keep going. Curious. Keep going with your horrible tip.
Well, why don't you start?
No. I like hearing.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I just love how he's going into elaborate detail about
what Whole Foods. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think she knows what's in a grocery store and what she could get out of a grocery store.
Yeah. Well, all I'm saying is if it's as easy to eat healthy as it is to not eat healthy. That's all I'm saying.
I'm thinking more hacks like this, like. You know, I find when I'm on a go and I'm really hungry that, you know, when you eat something high in saturated fat, like it helps satiate you. And so then you go a lot longer without. So keeping like, I think.
So you think of it hacks like to affect appetite?
Yeah. Okay. Like I think it's more like that. I mean, if you're grocery stores are definitely the place to go instead of fast food for sure. You know, it's you're always going to have better choices there. But what are some or incorporating fasting? Like, I think that's another great, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up in this. We need to eat our meals every 2 to 3 hours or like that. Like, you know, there's huge benefits to meal skipping, actually. And especially when you're trying to lean down, which I feel like we're all trying to lose body fat. Very few people are concerned about, I need to, you know, be eating this surplus all the time. So, you know, getting out of that mentality of being afraid of. Not eating for a little while. And if it's a hunger thing, because you're like, oh my God, my stomach's growling, then, you know, having things like macadamia nuts or a high fat, an avocado. Like, when's the last time you ever just ate an avocado? And Sal, you were the one. That's why I think it was a terrible tip, because I think you have better tips than this. I think that when you do a little bit of olive oil on an avocado with some salt.
Are you hungry right now? You need a nutrition.
Adam's the guy with all the recipes.
I got a tip for you. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. So, and that's another thing. We make a lot of, I make these little Reese's peanut butter cup fat bombs. They're really high in fat. They have a little bit of protein in them. They don't have much for carbs. And we freeze them, and they make little Reese's peanut butter cups. And I keep those always in my freezer. And you know, if I'm on the go really quick, I can just grab them and I can eat them on the road while I'm heading somewhere. And it's something that I created. It's not a processed fucking protein bar that I bought from somewhere. So things like that. Kombucha, you know, I feel like kombucha is something that's very filling for a drink. So a lot of times I'll grab a kombucha and then I'll sip on it, you know, through between meals.
Are those like kombuchas?
Huh? Yeah.
Are kombuchas similar?
Is it Cam or Calm? Is it Calm?
I think so.
Doug? I know Doug is the
Doug's Japanese. Doug's laughing.
Is it Cam or Calm?
I always say kombucha, but that's
just... Apparently we're both wrong.
Honestly, I think it's kombucha is what
kombucha.
People say.
Kombucha. Okay. Right. I think I'm pretty close, Dick. Trying to get me back.
Cam, Calm, Calm.
He's like, I know Adam's going to fuck something up real soon here.
Mine's horrible. Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you can't say kombucha.
And I don't. I'm just teasing. I don't think that Sal's tip is horrible. I think if you have the discipline to not drive through somewhere when you're hungry and go to a grocery store, I think that'd be ideal. But I just think that's kind of obvious. I think everybody kind of knows that. You know, what are some things that you utilize to fight off hunger or to make sure you make a better choice?
Well, didn't you like post something about people who like get like scoops of peanut butter and like a coconut fat and stuff like that. Weren't you talking about that the other
day? Did I?
Instead of just not eating, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Because I know
because they needed the macro.
Well, I actually have done that. Right. You know, like, you know, I think somebody was talking shit about it, but I was like, wait, man. You know, like, sometimes I'll just take a scoop of, like, coconut butter and I'll eat on that, you know, just to keep me going.
It's actually pretty good.
Well, no, once again, this was another thing that I got from Sal. That's why I think he was a horrible tip. He's given me way better tips for nutrition where he actually got this coconut oil peanut butter. From what was it, Whole Foods or Trader Joe's?
I think it was Whole Foods.
Awesome.
I had similar stuff.
It's peanut butter with a little bit of a coconut flavor twist to it, and it's much better choice for you than regular peanut butter. It's not all the artificial fake shit in it. It's all natural. So I'll take a tablespoon of that when I'm trying to fight off hunger, and I'll suck on that or eat that, you know, one or two tablespoons of that, and it satiates me.
I think it's all like shopping, right? So like as much as you can load your house up with like things that are going to benefit, like it's tough when you when you have like kids and like there's different things that like you'll compromise with, but like as much as you can set yourself up like in your own house, and then you can like you know, pull some of those items and take them with you on the road and all that. Like that's where I get the most help, you know, because yeah, when you're on the road, it's tough, man. Like you are not set up for success when you're relying on your environment to get like food from.
Another thing that you just spurred something for me. Sometimes when I'm hungry, especially if I'm fasting, something this just does it for me. For whatever reason, very, very cold, fizzy water tends to make me feel like I'm not just drinking water.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I'll do, sometimes I'll get one of those San Pellegrinos. That's my favorite one. I'll get it real cold, and I'll put a slice of lime in there.
I did that. I remember you told me that when I was going through the process, because I was like kind of having withdrawals with alcohol and like beer and stuff, and like that was a good, you know, you do that, you salt the rim.
Yeah, you put salt on the rim, and then you put a little lime in there.
So at least you feel like
for like a split second, it's a beer.
Exactly.
No, that's
it's like a cerveza.
Yeah.
I knew I'd get some better tips out of you. Yeah. You started.
We'll just keep hammering that.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's here's another one that I've learned about. You know, my food choices when I first started the day. I used to. It was all through competing. For the longest time, my staple breakfast was like, you know, a bowl of oatmeal was in there. You know, for sure. You know, I'd have other stuff too, but you know, I used to love eating oatmeal early on in the morning. It's got, you know, great benefits to it. It's high in fiber. It's a good source of carbohydrates. Blah blah blah. So I would start my day that way. But what I realized when I went ketogenic and I got rid of carbs like that, what a difference my appetite felt throughout the day. So carbs actually kickstarted my appetite. And then I found like myself 2 hours later, I'd be like starving for another carb. I wanted more food right away. Where when I started having really high fat breakfast, where I would just, I would load up the bacon and I'd have whole eggs with a little bit of, you know, organic cheese on there and an avocado, like, man, I'd have that breakfast and I'd be fine till I could go 3 o'clock in the afternoon and not eat a meal and be totally fine. So to me, that's another hack that, you know, if you're somebody who's trying to diet and lean down,
that's,
you know,
a countercultural hack too.
It is. That's why I like it. I think it's so different to how we've been taught. We have cereal, oatmeal, you know, shakes, all these things are what we tell people, fruit, all this stuff to have in the morning. Well, you know, switch your way of thinking and go a really high fat breakfast and get a majority of your fat early on the day. And that helps satiate me through the rest of the day. So that's changed the way I eat based off of what I'm trying to do as far as leaning or bulking or whatever.
Fit Girl Struggles 85. Can you eat too much in one sitting? Does it spill over and is it stored as fat even if it fits your macros and calories?
God, this is one of those myths that just won't die.
Oh, it spills over.
Yeah, like you can only absorb, you know, 30 grams of protein, you know, per sitting, or you can only absorb X amount of calories per sitting. Here's the thing. The body doesn't work that way. It's actually a longer process. Spilling over or eating too much at one sitting will make you sick, usually. And of course, there's extreme examples of people that can consume ridiculous amounts of food at each sitting. But for the average person who's healthy, you don't have to worry about this. Like, if you're trying to get in 150 grams of protein a day, you can do it in 6 meals, or you could do it in 2 meals, and it's pretty much all going to get utilized. Most of it won't get stored as body fat unless you're in a surplus. That's really what counts in terms of storing body fat. So if you're hitting your macros and your calories, eating it all in fewer meals is absolutely fine. And many right now, lots of science is showing that the fasting period beforehand and then having the large meal has a lot of benefits. The majority of my calories come in 1 or 2 meals. Mm-hmm. You know, I have one. Maybe if I eat 2,000 calories a day, I might have one 500 calorie meal and one 1,500 calorie meal. And that's typically how I'll eat myself. And I doing it that way works a lot better for me, because most of the day then I'm not eating any food and I just have more energy. So I wouldn't worry about eating too much at one time in terms of, you know, what the supplement industry has told you, which is you're wasting your protein. You need to eat every 6 hours. So here, buy our bars and buy our... And the funny thing is too, who picked this arbitrary 30 to 50 grams of protein, you know, per sitting? I mean, they did. Why? Because it's gross to fit more of that into a protein bar. Yeah. I think they just picked that number out of the air, like 50 grams of protein. That's the most, because that's the most that they'll put in their servings, maybe. I don't know.
Well, no, there's some, right, how fast your body assimilates it, right? I think it's more correlates to that. Like, your body, it takes for every hour, it assimilates X amount of protein that it converts. But it just keeps doing that, you know, ongoing, right, for the next 24, 48 hours. So if you loaded 100, it's not like you get to use 50 and the other 50 just gets goes to waste, or you shit it out. You still use it. There's some truth to the spilling over, though. And there is a, so this kind of goes back to, we just aired this episode where we talked about, you know, the body doesn't work on a 24-hour clock. And that's another problem with, you know, getting caught up in, you know, if it fits your macros or following a macro counter type of mentality, because, you know, 2 days can be so different activity level wise, and that could have a reflection of that. So if you had, let's say, and we're just going to use hypothetical flat numbers to make it really easy to understand. Let's just use 2000, like Sal said. Let's say that's your maintenance. And you, yesterday I ate 2000 calories, but I didn't do anything. I just sat around all day long. I didn't train. I didn't do anything, but I ate my 2000. And then I come into today, and today I overconsume and I eat 2,500 calories. Yeah, there's going to be a spillover because of my body. Those extra calories have got nowhere to go. They don't have no work that I just recently done that need to be partitioned over to building muscle. I didn't have a huge activity day. I probably didn't deplete my glycogen levels from the day before. So now this overconsumption is going to go into, you know, getting stored as fat.
Yeah, but see, she's asking about, is there a spillover if your macros and calories are all
okay?
Matched?
So now flip though, right? Same thing. Now, that same person, let's just say that the day before, they burned a ton and they ran for 5 miles, they trained a hard leg day, or maybe they do that this morning. The way those calories are going to get utilized and partitioned, and the way that you would or would not overspill, completely changes. You got to think of that like that, because it doesn't always work this way where we have this perfect number that our body is, you know, when you figure out a maintenance level or you figure out your macros, it's still a generic number. Even if it is individualized for you and your body, our metabolism and everything is free flowing and forever changing. So being aware that, or like how you mentioned coming off of a fast and then consuming, if you haven't ate for 15 hours, right? Your body has tapped those stores. It has completely utilized all that. So then you consume, you know, your 2,000 calories that you need to. And then, yeah, not only does none of it overspill, but all of it goes to good use and refilling the glycogen stores and filling your muscle bellies up and going for stored energy. Somebody who didn't move whatsoever and they didn't work out and then they overconsume on there, they eat 2,500 calories, it could overspill and it would overspill. So understanding your activity level, what you've done training wise, plus about where you should be maintenance in a general sense matters more. Does that make sense?
You're just talking about surplus versus like activity expenditure. Exactly. So I don't see that as part of the question as much, but like I know what you're talking about as far as that's concerned.
Well, that's where this myth gets generated from. I'm trying to get you guys to understand is that that's why, because there is, you can absolutely overspill.
Well, but
you would have to overconsume. Now, can you overspill and hit your maintenance for a day? Yes. Because what happens if you overconsume the day before, or you didn't burn enough the day before, so your body has more stored energy going into this day, and then you consume.
Right, but I think she's asking about
per meal,
that one meal. Like,
yes, no.
If today I ate 1,000 calories today, and that 1,000 calories was all getting burned, mm-hmm. but I ate all that 1,000 calories in one meal, does that make a difference versus one meal versus three meals?
No.
Yeah, and that's the question. And no, there's no. And the term spillover comes from the fucking bodybuilding world.
I think that's really why we're trying to address this, because that's the myth.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that's something that we want to steer people away from thinking in those terms. You know, we're given perfect case scenario, like, you know, I've done my workout, I've planned my meals accordingly to my schedule of macros and everything's balanced and all that, but now, you know, like eating within this window and then eating a specific amount, it's going to have this spillover because I've, you know, overconsumed, when in fact, you know, that I don't see that as you know, I didn't know where to go from.
Yeah, well, even the term spillover comes from carb loading. That's where they use that term. The spillover, I've never heard that term. I've heard it.
It's a good term to me. I think it helps people understand what's going on when you eat more than enough fuel or energy.
So you have like a bucket and you fill it
and then it spills over, and then, you know, the body has no, it doesn't need it. So where does it go?
Well, it's just one meal for me. It just, I don't know. I look at it like surplus versus, you know, like deficit versus maintenance. Like, I don't know that, like, you know, I'm going to put all that weight on like one meal. Like it's over the extended amount of time.
And that's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. I'm trying to make that the over spillage thing is a true thing. It does happen. It can happen to someone. Is it dictated by one meal? Absolutely not. What Sal is saying is 100% true. 1,500 calories eaten in one sitting versus spread out over three is no fucking difference.
Yeah.
But can eating a 1,500 calorie meal overspill you? Absolutely. If 8 hours ago you just consumed another big, huge meal, you haven't had any act. That's because what I'm trying to get across is that it doesn't work on a 24-hour clock.
Yeah.
So if 8 hours, so think of it like this. If I ate a dinner, okay, at 9 p.m. at night, it was 1,500 to 2,000 calories. Then I come right over at 6 o'clock in the morning and I have a 2,000 calorie. That's it. Within less than 24 hours, I'm going over my maintenance. So can overspillage happen right there? Absolutely. Now, will it level itself out because now you don't eat again for the next 10 hours?
Yeah, you just have to be mindful of the process.
And
right,
that's what I'm
that.
Trying to get out is yeah. that, you know, the overspillage thing is there's science to that. It does happen to the body. But we don't work on this perfectly 24-hour clock. Yes, does 1,500 calories in one meal versus three, is there a difference? No. And in fact, there's more science that supports what
Sal
said.
It's actually probably beneficial to allow yourself to eat more and then less sometimes rather than be this perfect.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Undulating your calories, I think, is just as important as are your workouts.
Yeah, because again, in the fitness world, they tend to take things and break them down into like perfect boxes and say, okay, 2,500 calories, that means you need to have this many calories per meal, this many grams of protein per meal, this many grams of carbs per meal and fat per meal. And this is why you have guys eating the same shit all day long, because they've measured out exactly how much tilapia it takes to hit the protein,
right,
exactly how much brown rice it takes to hit my carbs. And then they look at food as protein, carb, or fat, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I need some fiber because I think it's good for me, so I'm going to throw in some asparagus.
No, I'm going to throw in some Metamucil.
Or Metamucil.
Yeah, I'm going to supplement it. That's normally what happens when they do that. So. I'm not sure how to get this in my diet, so I'm just going to fucking take it.
Dude, you know what? I couldn't help but think of this like as the question was even asked. Like, I was thinking about those hot dog eating competitors. I'm like, what about that guy that has to like process all that in one sitting and then shit it out? Oh, my God. That poor guy.
I feel bad for the plumber.
Spillover is what I'm saying.
Diary of a Fit Guy. If you could interview anyone in the fitness industry, who would it be?
You know who that is?
No.
That's Sean.
Oh, that's the dude from
He changed his name.
That's right.
He's getting all cute on us.
He did. He changed it like twice. I'm like, bro, stop doing that.
You
I
know
can't,
why? Because he's like, oh, they'll answer this question. I gotta disguise myself.
We're on to you, Sean. Yeah,
we're on to you, buddy.
Yeah,
if you could interview anyone, who would it be in the fitness industry, huh?
But does Arnold still consider? Is he still?
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
Sure, yeah.
That for sure. He's been a hero of mine since I was a child. I would love to ask him about the old days of bodybuilding, but I'd also love to ask him just general questions. I mean, he was an immigrant. He kind of embodies the American dream, whether you like him or not. The guy's accomplished some amazing things, and I think I'd like to just ask him, you know, lots of questions about business and, you know, life and bodybuilding back in the 70s. That would be definitely easily my number one person. He'd be my number one person, period. Not just fitness industry, but one of my top people just to meet and talk to.
Hmm.
I think he's fascinating.
Yeah.
As far as other people in the fitness industry, that's a tough one. Lane Norton would be cool to talk to. Well, I think we wouldn't agree on everything, but he approaches things, I think, from, you know, a pretty good viewpoint. He's definitely a smart guy.
I'm surprised you said that. I was going to say that because I didn't think any of you would say that because I think we're so anti him.
Well,
sometimes.
I'm not anti. Yeah, I don't think any of us are anti Lane. If anything, we've only ever said things good. You know, most good things about him. There's definitely differences of opinion in certain arenas, like artificial. You know, when it comes to artificial sweeteners and stuff like that. And but he's one of the smart guys in the fitness industry in terms of actual, you know, exercise programming, actual, you know, how to train a certain way. He's taken IIFYM. He approaches it a little differently than other people, but he does tend to get a little more extreme than I would. But I would like to have a discussion in an interview with the guy. I think it would be fascinating. I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be respectful.
Oh, and he's a very smart guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, man. I was going to pick him because Arnold, I think we would probably all agree he's probably number one for all of us, right? I think,
yeah.
You know, Justin, would you disagree?
Yeah. No, I'd love, yeah.
Yeah, I think Arnold. You know who would be a fun one, since you stole Lane from me, is maybe Brett Contreras, I think would be cool to have.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a cool dude. I like his approach. I like a lot of the stuff that he writes, a lot of his videos, a lot of things that he puts out there and promotes.
Smart guy.
Very smart guy. And I like how he so you have to be clever in this fitness industry to make good money and not be this like supplement whore, right?
Yeah.
So no, really though, right? Like we've chose to take a different path. I mean, it would have been much easier.
We're still whores. We're just not yeah. selling it.
No, but it would be much easier right now. We'd all be able to stop our other jobs and careers and fully focus on Mind Pump if we had a supplement line. 100%. It already has enough people. It generates already enough natural revenue that if we actually had a perishable item that people had to buy every single month, we would all have six-figure incomes and be happy, mm-hmm. happier than pigs and shit. But in reality, we've chose to go a different path. I like how Brett Contreras has kind of done the whole, like, gone after the whole glute guy thing, like the butt. I think it's such a hot topic for men and women that want to learn how to build the ass. And there's a lot of things to learn and a lot of myths out there around it. And I think he addresses a lot of it, and he's built a business around it, and I think that was what drew a lot of people to him. And then you come to him, and then you find out that he's a mobility expert, and he really knows his program design, and he looks like a natural, normal guy too. He's not somebody who's all steroided out and has done things all fucking crazy. He's a smart dude who knows what he's talking about, and he keeps it real. And I like how he's marketed himself around that. I think it's, I think it's really easy. He could have went the gimmicky route with that, and he didn't, you know. And I think I have a lot of respect for him, and I think he'd be a fun character to have on the show.
Totally.
Well, he's not necessarily fitness related, but I really like Tim Ferriss, and I like listening to his podcast and how he interviews.
He's got lots
people.
Of nutrition stuff on there.
Yeah. But I think that he would be, I mean, just his work ethic is unreal. As far as like somebody specific,
which is ironic because he claims he only works 4 hours in a week.
That is ironic. Good point. Yeah, but I mean, some people like Pavel would be like one of my top picks. Oh, yeah. Just because the guy's a badass, and he like has just opened my eyes to so many different ways of training and strength training specifically. I think we would all have a lot of fun with somebody like Mike Mahler, because he's just very off the cuff and super intelligent guy as well. But I mean, he's very specialized, but he specialized himself specifically like business wise. He's very strategic. And I actually met the guy one time at a conference, and he just has a really unique perspective, and did a great job marketing himself. And he obviously knows his shit and has great technique and everything. But yeah, he would be a fascinating guy as well.
You know what would be cool? Would be to interview some former Soviet bloc coaches.
Yes.
Like some,
I'm all for that.
Wouldn't that be sick?
Yeah.
Just to find some like ex coaches and scientists from Soviet Union days where they were just dominating in strength sports.
They fascinate me more than anybody because they were so focused on, you know, biomechanics and improving like sports science and, the human body. And I think that they were light years ahead of us.
Dude, they were funded. They had lots of money to experiment with all kinds of different things, and the ethics were a little bit different.
That's why they kicked the shit out of us for so long. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's why they kicked the shit out of
Draco.
But it would be cool to sit down with them and just ask them, like, you know, because they were the ones that really pioneered high volume, high frequency, but sub maximal intensity type workouts. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. They weren't like going to failure with their lifts, but they were doing. These Olympic lifters were lifting for hours a day, just practicing a lift over and over and over. Mm-hmm. And their athletes just destroyed, mm-hmm. you know, our athletes. It'd be so cool to sit down with them and talk to them. And then it would be cool to sit down and talk with, you know.
I always wonder what everyone's going to be like, though, once we get them. Like, I was really excited.
God, what? Excited.
Yeah.
I was so excited, I farted.
I was excited.
Hey, guys.
I was so excited to interview Mark Bell, and I thought it was pretty weak.
I was excited to meet
him. I was excited to talk to him. I thought it was going to be awesome, and then it was like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, it can be
you never know until you get somebody. Like, a lot of these people are great.
Right.
They're so good at their craft. And then when you're like talking to them, I mean, we just had an interview recently about someone like this.
I was no personality.
Another person I was really excited to interview. I thought they were just going to be fucking hilarious. And then it was
dude, this is what we got to do. Because with this question, I'm considering like someone I want to meet.
But that's why Arnold is awesome. Oh, Arnold, he's charismatic.
He'd be easy.
He's charismatic. Yeah. He's funny. He would be he would be a fucking blast. And there's no doubt about it because you've seen him already on interviews.
But then we got to think about what would be good for the show. Yeah. And you know what we got to do, dude, from now on is just we have someone on the show. We just do our show.
Yeah.
And they're there. You know what I'm saying? Because I think people just, it's hard to predict.
You keep saying that every time we have a shitty interview, but I'm like, that's so hard to do with a fourth wheel.
Yeah.
We were made to be a tricycle, dude.
What if and we
are a tricycle?
Yeah, we are a tricycle with a kickstand and a tricycle. Yes. You know what I'm saying? or a side cart. You know, we just don't do good with four wheels, dude. We don't.
What if we did it this way? What if instead of saying we're going to interview you, we said, "Would you like to be a guest host on an episode of Mind Pump?" And then they're just fucking guest hosts, and we just talk about shit, do Q&As. And then they can help us.
Felt like the Joe Donnelly shows naturally. That's what happened because sometimes Joe would take over the show and just start fucking talking forever, which was great.
Yeah,
which I thought that's more like what that was.
Lots of energy.
Yeah. Lots of energy. There was
lots of fast words.
We didn't have to ask a ton of questions and try and pull it out of somebody. Like it literally, it was like that. A lot of the other guests, I feel like it's more of an interview style, and we're doing that. So I agree with you. But
what's your favorite ice cream?
That person has to have that charisma. They have to have that, hey, I can get under the mic.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it sounds like Justin sounded like when he first started.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Ryan O'Banion, which instrument would you like to learn how to play?
Who picked this question?
I did, dude. Of course you did. I was going to say Adam's skin flute.
He plays that all the time.
Rusty trombone?
Go ahead, Justin, so we can think about what we're going to do here.
I want to play the drums, man.
Drums are cool.
It's going to break shit.
Yeah, I already know how to play guitar somewhat. I suck in comparison to some of our followers. Holy shit. I've been like going through some people that like have posted about Mind Pump, and there's just some of these guys that play guitar. I'm just like blown away, dude. I was like, wow. There's this guy, the 9-string guitar guy. I was like going through some of his stuff, and I was like, dude, this guy's amazing. I am so not even going to like claim that I play guitar now. Well, I'm done.
I'll say this, like when it comes to the drums, dude, because I like music. I'm not into it like you are, Justin, but I do enjoy it. I never considered the drums as being like a super impressive instrument, not because I looked down upon it. It just didn't pop in my head, right? Because the guitar is the first thing that pops up.
Mm-hmm.
Until I watched Rush. There was Neil Peart. Neil Peart doing his solo, and he had this drum set that fucking rotated around him. He was strapped into his chair.
Yeah,
he's turning upside down with this shit.
Yeah.
He's moving so
showing
fast.
Showing off.
Bro, it looks like I'm thinking that his hands are going to catch fire. That's how fast he's moving. And how does he keep track of what is going on at any given moment?
It's a different level of cognitive, ability. It's just crazy.
Dude, his brain has developed a ridiculous ability to be able to do that.
But that's most like musicians in general that like you just look at them and they're just so superior in like they're on a different wavelength than you, and you can't even like pretend to be that person because they just have it.
I would love to have gone back in time and to listen to Jimi Hendrix back then, because I'll tell you why. We're used to that sound now, right? That feedback.
No, he invented it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Could you imagine listening to that back then?
First time.
Must have blown. I mean, people must have just exploded.
Did you know that? You know that he tried out for Carlos Santana's band, and then they didn't. He didn't make it.
Wow.
Yeah.
He
just
blender.
Did his own thing. That happened a lot. Like Primus, Les Claypool. He's like this amazing bassist, right? And
I like the bass.
He tried out for Metallica and didn't make it. They're like, nah, you're a little too good. You need to do your own thing.
Wow. Yeah. I for me, instrument. So you guys know I played the trumpet for 3 years when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Do you look like a horn blower?
Huh?
You do look like
the
a
rusty
horn blower.
Trumpet's pretty awesome, dude. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I did that for a few years. It was like whatever. I would really like to enjoy two instruments that really fascinate me. One is the violin.
You do the drums already.
No, I said the drums is cool. I wouldn't want to play it though.
Oh, gotcha.
One is the violin, and the other one would be the piano. Those are the two instruments that really. Which one?
Piano. Well, number one would be clarinet. I want to be a good clarinet.
It's so you can like breathe fire at the end of it.
Mainly because yeah. I don't know anybody who's a badass clarinet guy. And I would be like to be
usually when you get badass at clarinet, you end up playing saxophone. That's why.
Is that why? Is that really a lot of clarinet players? Progression?
No, it's not.
You start off with a clarinet, you get good at it, and you're like, now it's time for you to graduate to the saxophone.
1, 2, 3, name a song with a clarinet in it.
Go.
None.
Yeah.
My point exactly. No.
So that's you want to be like a rock fucking.
You want to be.
I want to be the Kenny G of clarinet.
I was going to say. That's about the only guy.
I want to be able to name.
That's going
to
be your guy, your homeboy that you practice with.
Truth be told, I actually, the piano I think would be really cool. I always wanted to learn the piano. I think the piano is a cool, very.
I started out with that. It's a good one to start with. It gives you a real good foundation.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to, like, why?
Well, because you got to read music.
You don't have to read music anything else.
I mean, you do, but like it's the most like straightforward, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like learning the alphabet. Yeah,
it's just, I don't know. Yeah, it's very
everything else is like Spanish,
elemental, okay, this, and you just learn a lot of the structure that way and like what the notes mean and all that, so.
I don't know. I feel like of all the instruments, don't you guys think, forget about being in a rock band, you're just a regular dude that knows how to play an instrument. Don't you think playing the piano would get you the most action?
Absolutely. That's exactly what I thought. That's exactly where my man was.
Now, do you think it's different because we're getting older now?
You're one of those guys.
But do you think it's because we're getting older?
Like the Dave Matthews guys that are outside, you know, like the dorm rooms. Yeah. And they're playing for these chicks. I used to throw stuff at those guys.
Oh, and the guitars?
These fucking guys.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like if you go to, like, you would go with a girl to a restaurant, there's a piano in the corner, and you're like, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, wait a minute.
You walk over, then you play. You just start.
Well, I also think it's like this. Okay, like you just brought a good point. Like a guitar guy, like you could be a guitar guy and you could be like the total fucking John Mayer, fucking the girls.
Yeah.
Or you could be like the fucking hardcore heavy metal.
A badass.
Like piano, you're just a sex symbol. There is no in the middle. There's no like hard rock piano guy. You know, there's no
somebody
piano
like
guy.
Harry Connick Jr. or somebody like that. Yeah, that's impressive.
That's cool too. And I think the piano, it's a panty dropper, dude.
Piano.
You're right.
Would you rather be able to sing? Or play an instrument really well.
Well, I would love to be able to sing because I have a terrible voice.
It's true.
Yeah.
But so you have a good talking voice.
You can learn an instrument. You can't learn really. If I'm terrible, I'm just.
You know what? That's what I think too. Like, why do they have singing lessons?
Well,
you ain't gonna sing.
Listen, maybe you just haven't found your right genre yet. Like, you'd be a good like soul guy. Like, hey. Can't get enough of your love, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Because I only have one tone. I can't go in or out.
You could be that guy.
Yeah. Is there singers like that are just one tone?
What are you talking about, dude? There's whole bands.
Dude.
Look at the Ramones. Yeah. The Ramones had like 6 chords and like two tones.
Let's go.
They sold fucking millions of albums. Exactly.
We're gonna sing at this.
That's all sound the same.
That's a very good point.
Those bastards.
Punk rock.
Every once in a while,
anybody can do punk rock.
Anybody can.
You're gonna get some hate. For
it's
that
true
one.
Though. It's true.
Damn.
You guys, they just break all the rules. You could play 3 chords and just.
That's what the Ramones did.
Yeah.
Listen to any song by the Ramones, and you'll realize just how basic that shit is. You're like, holy
so
fuck,
basic, dude.
There's like two.
I mean, there's a delivery to it if it's not catchy or whatever. If you don't like come up with something cool, but like I've been to punk concerts where they just fucking yell at you. Like, I don't even know what's going on, but like everybody's going crazy. You know?
Did you guys see the 82-year-old guy that got on what's the singing shows called? The one with the 3 X's.
America's Got Talent?
One of those, okay. Yeah. I think it was America's Got Talent. And he was 82 or 85 years old and he came out.
I didn't click on it, but everybody's posting it.
You gotta click on it. You see he comes out and he does Drowning Pool. Let the bodies hit the floor. And he fucking rocks it, dude.
Really?
Awesome. Oh, it's so. The whole audience stands up and starts going crazy.
Well, it's like that girl that I posted that sang all of a sudden, but she did this in this growl.
Dude.
Like, whoa, how did that come
from? You know
from?
Who did that?
Watching this 85-year-old guy who's like, he was a Navy pilot, engineer, all this. They kind of ask him what he did before. And here's the thing, like, I've seen those shows. And a lot of that shit's totally staged. They pick the people that are going to embarrass themselves, and they know that people are going to laugh at it. They know it makes good TV. This guy came out and like legitimately looked like he was like putting it down, like trying to put it down. And the crowd went fucking nuts, and it was so great, dude. Yeah.
Do you guys, what was the group? There was one band that did that to me where the girl's voice was very soft and like sweet, and she's small, and then all of a sudden she comes out and like Satan comes out. No, Flyleaf.
Flyleaf.
Oh, Flyleaf.
Flyleaf.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning, I'm like, oh, she's kind of sounds sweet or whatever. Yeah. And then like just.
Evanescence is like that.
And then just Satan
Evanescence,
came out of her mouth.
Flyleaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that like sweet little girl. And then all of a sudden they going under.
Sorry, wow. Doug. Sorry about that.
You know what else is surprising? Go on our website, mindpumpmedia.com. Check out some of our testimonials.
Oh.
Awesome. Crazy shit
it
on there.
Awesome.
We have our super bundle on there and our MAPS programs, all of our fasting guides, nutrition survival guides. Also, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes.
Excellent.
And check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump
Come
Radio.
Hang out with us on the forum.
You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Mind Pump Jadam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic. 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.